Welcome back to Eye on Digital Marketing, presented by More Visibility. This is the podcast for all your digital marketing tips. This is episode 30. I am your host, Chuck Forbes, and today I am joined by Ghislaine Cadaret, one of our senior content strategists. Ghislaine, how you doing?
Hi, Chuck. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
My pleasure. Ghislaine, your background is obviously in content, but also heavily in social media. And today, our topic is the rise of this app called TikTok. I'm sure by now everyone has heard about it because there's such an industry boom around this app, but I'm not so sure if all of our listeners know exactly what the app does, how people are using it, who's using it, and what the marketing opportunities are. So every time something new kind of bursts on the scene and makes an impact like TikTok has, we want to be sure to cover it. So Ghislaine, let's just start at a very high level here. What is TikTok? When people hear, oh, do you have TikTok? Have you used TikTok? What are they talking about?
It's a very new app. So let's talk about the history a little bit. So it started as a popular music app called Musical.ly in 2016. It was mainly used by people to post lip syncing videos.
Like karaoke stuff?
Yes, like karaoke stuff.
Interesting.
And it was acquired by a Chinese-based tech company called ByteDance in 2017. And then in 2018, it merged into TikTok. So you can see it's a very new app. It doesn't have a lot of history to it. But although the app is new, the momentum is kind of what's outpacing everything. So in 2019, TikTok was the world's second most downloaded app. And there were nearly 220 million installs in the last quarter of 2019 alone, which represented a huge increase from the quarter before it. And since then, it's consistently been in the top 10 most downloaded apps in the App Store.
That's a nice run. That's pretty good. So it started out as this lip syncing app, and now it's all videos, right?
It's all videos. So what do people use it for? So users create and share really short videos. It used to be 15 seconds, but now they've increased it to over or to just about 60 seconds. And you can do that by mashing clips together. So mashing shorter clips to make a total 60-second video. So it's short videos. It's being described as the Instagram for mobile video age. It's very similar to the now defunct Twitter app Vine. I don't know if you remember that, but a few years ago, Twitter launched this short, I think it was 6-second video app called Vine. It's very similar to that. And I wonder now if Twitter kicking themselves thinking, oh, we should have kept this thing going because it's very similar to that.
Vine is gone. Is it? It's gone now, right?
Vine is gone. There has been talks of resurfacing it now, especially with the success of TikTok. So maybe it's not gone forever. It might come back and maybe rebrand it as something else. But it's definitely something that we see sort of brewing. But predominantly TikTok is short videos that revolve around music. That's because they have a huge music library that people can lip sync to.
Okay.
They're not complete songs, they're clips of songs, but that's what makes it so fun.
Okay, so the engagement here is really video, and I think they followed in Instagram's footsteps. I think when Instagram introduced video, it was only 15 or 30 seconds too, and now you can upload like minutes on Instagram, and then they have like IGTV. So it sounds like they kind of follow the same route, giving people more time, more upload time. So you mash up these videos. You can, like you said, put different clips together up to 60 seconds. And if I were to download TikTok, is my, you know, when I open up the app and look at the timeline, I guess you would call it, is it all people doing kind of like these lip sync, you know, music videos, or has it really morphed into more like funny content? Like, what, you know, what should I expect? Is it all about music or is it all about more so entertainment?
That's a good question. So how does it work? So when you first open the app, if you download the app for the first time, and you've never used it before, TikTok doesn't know what your preferences are and you're not following anyone yet. So what you're going to see is a general feed. That's sort of a raw feed of the most popular content. But then as you start using the app and following people, it will then display two tabs at the top. So you have two competing tabs. The first is following, which is content from people you're following. And the second tab is called For You, which is an algorithmically generated stream based on what you've consumed. So similar to the IG Explore tab. And it knows what you like, not just based on what you've reacted to, but while you're scrolling down and watching video or swiping up, I should say, to watch video. It could mean if you've paused on something longer, if you've rewatched something, how quickly you skip through video. So it really gets a good sense of what you like based on your browsing habits. So it gives you those two feeds from the start. So swiping up will take you to the next video, and then swiping left takes you to the creator's profile so you can see all of that person's videos.
Interesting.
It's quite endless, honestly. Once you get into the streams and you start scrolling, it's really easy to get sucked into what you're viewing. But it's really fun, again, because they're really short videos, so you don't feel like you're investing anything into watching all these videos.
Until enough time goes by and you realize you've been on the app for 2 hours.
Yes, exactly. It's dark out, you're in the house, and where has all my
Which I'm sure TikTok is very happy about.
That's sort of what every social media platform aims to do, right? Their goal is to keep you on their platform as long as possible, and TikTok does a really good job at that. And in fact, that's probably one of the reasons why the app is so popular. One, it's really easy to use, and it's really easy to get started with. That's something a lot of social media platforms struggled with at the start, is how to engage users off the bat. So Twitter sort of had that issue, where a lot of users sign up, create an account, go on there and think, now what? I really kind of don't know what to do. And Reddit, for example, has that same sort of problem. People create an account, go on, and then just sort of don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And TikTok's been really good at how they promote their creators and make it really easy and intuitive. So once you go on the app and you start looking at video, it becomes really easy not only how to consume, but how to produce that video.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right. Like, especially when I think about Reddit, because I've signed up for Reddit and I use Reddit pretty frequently. But I remember when I first got on there, it's very intimidating because I was like, all right, there's so many forums and chats and replies to things, and it was hard to follow, and there wasn't really like a guide. So the fact that TikTok has kind of evaluated from an engagement standpoint, what do users want to see? Short video, we know that works. They have an algorithm to show you stuff and content that you like based on not only your engagement, but like you said, even if you've stopped or watched a video more than once. And they've also seemed, you know, from your expertise to solve this issue of when you download an app and you get in there for the first time, you're not lost and you know how to use it. So all those things combined, I guess it's not really a surprise that the rise of TikTok has been so fierce. So I guess flowing down into that, it sounds like from what you've described, TikTok would probably lend itself to a younger demographic. But you tell me, who's using this app more so than others? Is it a wide range? Is it a very niche range? And then from there, after we talk about who's using it, we'll go into some marketing tactics here.
It's a very young demographic. So data and demographics for TikTok in 2019 show that it's currently in about 154 countries with about 500 million active users. And of those active users, 66% are younger than 30. So it's a really young demographic.
Yeah.
It's probably the same audience when you think of Snapchat in a sense.
Yep.
But on the other hand, it's sort of the anti, I would call it almost like an anti Snapchat, because a Snapchat has gone towards very dark social app space. It's not about creating content publicly. It's more for sharing content privately.
Right.
Where TikTok's gone the complete opposite direction. And everything is public, forward-facing, and to be discovered. So it's the same audience and a lot of the same sort of idea of short video, but much more public-facing and much more easy to use than Snapchat is another one that was kind of challenging at the beginning. But so a very young demographic.
Yeah, it's interesting to me because I think Snapchat I could be wrong, but it seems like they took the approach of, because their platform was based on videos and or messages that go away after a short period of time or after you watch them, it seems like Snapchat almost liked that kind of like mysterious factor of when they release new features, not everybody exactly knew how to use them right away, but yet a lot of people did and was able to teach people. And I don't know, I just feel like they kind of fed into that a little bit more than other platforms, because like you said, they weren't so public and forward facing. Like Snapchat's, you know, literally their platform plan was built on the fact of you can send a message to someone in different formats and it won't live forever. Therefore, you've already kind of built a basis of mystery, in my opinion. So we've had tons of clients in the past who said the same thing about Snapchat, like the demographic's so young. I don't really know too much about it, so I'm very hesitant to advertise on it. But we all know, hesitation aside, your perspective and your perception aside, there's millions of people using it. There's advertisers who are either in the space or going to enter the space. That's inevitable. The money's too much. The demographic is going to suit somebody who's selling some type of product or service. So, Ghislaine, from that perspective, how much has advertising already infiltrated TikTok? Are there ads on there now? And what does that look like in the future? Or what are the opportunities for advertisers on this app?
When TikTok launched, they already had ad features in place. So it's not like often a social network will launch, become popular. I guess sort of Instagram you could compare it to, where they launch, become popular, and then think, oh, how can we make this work for advertisers? TikTok kind of went into the game knowing, let's launch this and have a side that's ready for advertisers. The problem is it was in beta for a long time. It wasn't available to everyone. So the features that they currently have for advertising opportunities are paid products, in-feed ads. There's also hashtag challenges, hashtag challenge plus campaigns with in-app shoppable product page. Like an example would be Kroger, for example, launched a hashtag plus campaign called Transform Your Dorm, or hashtag Transform Your Dorm, your being you are. And it encouraged users on the platform to post makeovers of their dorms. I think this launched around this around September or the start of school. And it encouraged kids to shop at Kroger's for products like laundry baskets or popcorn makers. So they had this feature in the app as part of this challenge to have people shop on the platform. But as far as the other kinds of advertising, I think for the most part, unless you have like a really, really young demographic, or you're in an industry that's music related, or a really huge company that maybe the budget's okay to go in and experiment with, we're kind of suggesting more of a wait and see approach,
right?
Especially right now, there's a little bit of controversy about the data concerns and safety. Mm-hmm. And I know on the political side, I think it was Chuck Schumer and Tom Cotton that called for a U.S. intelligence investigation mm-hmm. into there being threats of national security.
Sure.
So there's a lot of unknown. So I think right now, in terms of paid advertising, for most, and that's not for all clients, but for most, it would be to sort of wait to see how that plays off and sort of take a wait and see approach.
Yep. The whole national security thing, security protection, data protection, identity protection in general, has really infiltrated the digital space the last couple years and is only going to continue to grow. Because people want to know that their data and information is protected. And when you talk about apps, you know, it may not cross your mind, but as you said, developers can develop an app from anywhere in the world. They can program things to do, you know, anything they want. And sometimes when you sign up for these apps, I'd say 99.9% of the time, you're not reading those terms and conditions that you are opting into because you're so excited to use what you're about to download. So that's just an interesting point. But so the paid side seems to be available. You know, some people are using it and testing it if they think it's a good fit. But overall, it sounds like it's more of a wait and see before real big brands get on board, real big money starts to stream into the app to make sure that it's secure and that advertise works. So what about on the organic side, the organic social strategy side for those clients, those people listening who post regularly on social media, whether it be Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, etc.? They've heard about TikTok. They're wondering if they should put it in their strategy. What's your recommendation there? And if so, if you would recommend it in your strategy, what does that content look like?
Right. So advertising may not be an option, but yeah, organically setting up a profile on a platform, that's something completely different. And there are opportunities for brands to do that. I would say the first thing to consider before launching a profile is understanding that that's a commitment. It's another profile to manage on social media, and it's a new pipeline of customized content that you'll have to create for that channel. So the first things you have to think about are, do you have the resources to create this content? Do you have the bandwidth and the time it takes? Because it's a significant investment, just like entering any new social media platform is.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing to think about is that, because you don't want to sign up, create an account, and then sort of post one or two things and then be MIA from the platform. So look at it, consider if this is something you want to do before you take the dive. And also what we discussed before is the demographics being really young. So is it your demographic? So maybe think of your industry and what you're selling or what product and services you're offering, and think of your audience. So if your audience is really young, then yeah, why not? It's a great platform to join if you have that bandwidth.
Do you think people get like turned off, brands and companies, from the resource and time intensive perspective when the social platform is based on video? Like, I feel like some companies, brands, or marketing teams are a little bit more hesitant because I have to create an engaging video versus like Twitter. I can maybe just put out an engaging post. It seems easier to convey someone's thoughts on what they're selling or what they're promoting in a couple quick sentences. When it comes to video, people get, in my opinion, what I've seen, more hesitant because they're like, oh, it has to be amazing, or this isn't going to work, and I don't know how to make it amazing.
Yeah, it's much more challenging than just writing copy or ad copy. And I think that is a little intimidating, although it's getting easier to create that kind of content. You don't need so much equipment like you used to. You don't need to have the most expensive equipment either. You can do it with your iPhone most of the time. So it is getting easier, but yeah, you still have to go into it with a strategy. So for example, on TikTok, one of the things we know that users don't want is salesy, branded type videos. So they don't want to go on the app and then you're putting video out there that's all about your product and how much it costs and you should buy this product. That's just not going to fly on the platform. So people want authentic platform. They don't want salesy stuff. So it's okay for videos to be unpolished. People like unconventional content. Authenticity is key on the platform.
Yeah.
But it's also important to note that something being authentic and a little rough around the edges doesn't mean that you don't need a strategy for it.
Right.
So another thing that's key is going into it with a strategy. So even though these are, you know, 15-second videos that don't need to be as polished as a branded piece of content, you still need a strategy for it. So you can't go in and just start posting videos and experimenting. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to do well for your brand. It's not going to be received well by the audience. So one of the things you have to do before going into it is figuring out what my strategy is going to be. And this could be a topic for another podcast, because for any video, it's really important to have a strategy, whether it's for YouTube, whether it's for Facebook, whatever video content you're producing.
Right.
It's really important to go in there with a strategy. That way you'll be able to determine not only what you're creating, but you'll be better able to manage expectations and measure your success in the end. And there are a lot of brands doing interesting things on the platform that you wouldn't expect. So one of them is the Washington Post actually has a TikTok account. And you would think, oh, is it is it news
right.
content? What are they putting out there?
Yeah.
And it's actually behind the scenes, and it's really funny content. It's kind of sarcastic. It's funny, and it's it follows a staff writer around on his way to work, in the newsroom, writing. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like a slice of life behind the scenes content, and they're consistent with that. This is their channel, and this is what they're going to do on there.
Right. And that comes from having a strategy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They didn't go in there and think, oh, what are we going to post today?
Right.
So they had this strategy, and it has these really funny little captions on it. And so it's really fun stuff. And then you have bigger brands like the NBA has a TikTok account. Several teams have TikTok accounts. Sephora,
yeah.
There's lots of big name stores that have accounts on there. So it can be really interesting. Again, just go in there with a strategy and know what you're going to present to your audience.
I love the Washington Post example the most because that's, you know, a brand and a company and an industry, the newspaper industry. I guess now it's more online, but that everyone knows has been dying and trying to like figure out their identity and how they shift, you know, since, you know, really the last decade. And you have the Washington Post on TikTok with a behind-the-scenes strategy that's probably working very well for them. And we preach that to clients all the time. Like, don't think that every platform is the same type of content. Your strategy could also differ for your platform. And when you're working with a platform like TikTok that has so much video, like, put yourself in the shoes of the user watching that account. Do you want to see a video of someone saying, hey, I'm Chuck Forbes from the Washington Post, and I just wrote an article about this? Probably not, because you probably just sent out an e-blast and it's all over your website. But what I may want to see is behind the scenes of Chuck from the Washington Post writing that article, meeting in the strategy room with other people who have ideas, how it comes together. That's interesting to me because I don't get to see that. And a lot of times, brands sell themselves short, and we have this conversation all the time. Things that they think people may not want to see is actually exactly what they want to see because they've never seen it.
Yeah, it puts a human face to your brand. And with the Washington Post, also what they're doing is nurturing a really young audience that will probably grow up and read the Washington Post if they've associated with this account and they like their content.
Yep.
So it's sort of creating an audience or finding an audience earlier than you normally would. So it's reaching out to a whole new demographic for them.
Yep. So keep it authentic. You know, like you said, ensure you have the resources and the time, but definitely don't just throw to the side this new app, TikTok, if you haven't explored it for at least your organic social strategy for now. If you think it fits for, you know, advertising opportunities, then by all means. But the fact is, this app has tons of users. It's been on the rise. The buzz has been crazy. And thank you, Ghislaine, for telling us a little bit more about how it works and who's on it. So before we depart today, is there any last minute tips or glimpses to the future or things about TikTok that you want to leave the listeners with?
Maybe a couple of things. One of them is about creating a verified account on TikTok, because I know we've had some questions about that. The verification process on TikTok is maybe a little like Twitter, where it's not that transparent. There's not a checklist of here I pass all these checklists and therefore I should get my account verified.
Yeah.
It's sort of decided by TikTok based on, I guess, notoriety or how much people follow you. So it's a little more challenging to get that verified check mark. And then there's no outside links from your bio. So for example, if you have a bio, like on Instagram, you can insert your link in there and people can go to your website. That doesn't exist on TikTok, but you can link to other social media accounts. So you can link to your Instagram account or your YouTube account.
Interesting. Super important question.
Mm-hmm.
What color is the check mark that TikTok uses? Is it blue like Twitter?
I think it's blue. I'd have to look
really?
At the app to remember, but I think it's that same like that blue that's in the TikTok symbol.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just waiting for new colors here of verified check marks. One day.
It's true. They're always blue now that you mentioned
I mean, blue's
it.
A nice color. It's very inviting, but green could work.
And then one more thing also that has a lot of people talking and a little bit concerned is the idea of how do you make money on TikTok if you're a creator? Because on other platforms, on YouTube and Instagram, for example, if you're a creator, there's ways to make lots of money on TikTok. Creators haven't, there's no way for creators to monetize their content on TikTok. So a lot of them are actually now becoming very successful on TikTok and then taking their talent to YouTube because they can't find a way to to monetize it on TikTok. So I don't know if that's going to change the way the platform works. It's a very democratized sort of algorithms. Maybe that's something they're not interested in. Maybe they don't want to promote, you know, creators that start making lots of money.
Yeah.
But that is a concern, whether eventually their most creative people are going to leave the platform because they're not able to monetize their content.
Right.
So that's something interesting to look to. Right now, the only way a lot of creators are able to monetize their content is with TikTok Live, which is available to some accounts. You have to have over 1,000 followers to do a TikTok Live. And people can watch your TikToks or your TikTok videos and send you virtual gifts. So these are like little coins that have different dollar value amounts, like a drama queen is $50. So people can sort of send you money that way.
Yeah.
But that's really the only way. So it's really tough for creators on TikTok
right now. Interesting. Yeah, that's a great point. I think we're going to find out the direction this app wants to go. Having a lot of your big fish leave the platform and see that engagement and that following go down, I think would sway them in one direction or another, but we'll see how valuable that is to them. And maybe they like their more democratized algorithm, how it is, and they'll keep it and maybe not go with the usual flow that we see other app companies do. That's interesting. Ghislaine, this was great information on TikTok. If you have any further questions or would like to know how More Visibility can help with your social media strategy, you can go to our site and check out our newsletter, morevisibility.com. Don't forget, you can also follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. We don't have a TikTok yet. Maybe that will come. Or you can shoot us an email and we're happy to talk to you further about how we can help your strategy. info@morevisibility.com is where you can send that. Ghislaine, thanks so much for stopping by today.
Thanks, Jack.